It's good to see some different faces this morning. Hallelujah. But then also some familiar ones. Hallelujah. I hope your conference here was as good as ours. We just kept going. Anyway, we're so thankful for the Lord speaking. So this morning we'll have four brothers that will share this message together, and then you will be given the second session to have some speaking and prophesying of the portion that you enjoyed from all of the eight messages. So the conference isn't over because you guys have the last message. Oh boy, don't think we're not going to be listening. So anyway, don't forget to open yourself even right now. Lord, I open to you.
Amen.
I'd like to receive your fresh speaking.
Amen.
I don't want to miss whatever you would have for me right now.
Amen.
So we're on the last point of this matter of the ground. And it's very practical. It's on practicing. Practicing, right? So the verse that's not on your outline, but you should jot it down, 1 Timothy 4:15. This title, Practicing, comes from the Bible. Hallelujah for the Bible.
Amen.
Oh, by the way, my name is Tom Little. I'm in Arlington. I'm glad to be here with you sisters. And brothers too. Amen.
Amen.
But anyway, it's good to be together to enjoy the Lord. Yeah. So 1 Timothy 4:15, just the first three words, it says, practice these things.
Amen.
Practice these things.
Amen.
Practice these things.
Amen.
Let's say it. Ready, go.
Practice these things.
What are we going to do? What?
Practice these things.
What?
Practice these things.
Are you getting it? What are we going to do?
Practice these things.
It's easy to say it. But what about this evening? Are you going to enter into what? What are we going to do?
Practice these things.
We have to practice the things. If you hear all this revelation, and it's tremendous, right? God's nature is oneness. Hallelujah. His local expression is oneness. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But you have to be able to practice.
Amen.
Right? So in Romans, Paul unveils that the practice of the body life is very practical.
Yeah.
It's real, right? So what are we going to do?
Practice these things.
What are we going to do?
Practice these things.
I want you to go to sleep tonight and go, practice these things. And then when the alarm goes off tomorrow morning, practice these things. Because if you don't practice them, eventually you don't listen. You don't enter into the reality of the revelation concerning the Lord speaking concerning. You could be on the ground of oneness, but not practicing. You could be passive. I'm here. My parents are born here. I live here. But you're not in the reality of it, right? So we want to be brought into the reality of it. Okay, so I have the first few points. Let's read the title of the message, the lesson. Ready? Here we go. Practicing the church life. Practicing the church life. As high schoolers, you should be people that practice the church life. Let's say, I am going to practice the church life. Ready?
I am going to practice the church life.
Now we're going to find out what that means. Okay, so the first, let's read all together. Ready? Roman numeral 1. Sisters, the verse, Romans 12:5. Ready, go.
So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another.
To practice the church life is to practice the body life. To practice the body life, right? Okay, so to practice the body life, you have to firstly have a realization there is a body. And with the body, there's a head. So you're like, oh, how do I do that? What is this matter of consciousness and conscious practice? What? Being conscious? What? What in the body? Okay. The head has a lot of feeling about the body.
Yeah.
So to be conscious of the body, what you need to do, you should go to what? Colossians 2:19. On the negative says is not holding the head, but the essence is we need to hold the head. You want to be conscious of the body? Hold the head.
Yeah.
The more you hold the head, the more you enjoy the Lord as the head, you know what happens? The more the consciousness of the body comes out.
Amen.
The next time this happens to you, you should take out your journal and write it down. And I know it's going to happen because I'm going to speak it to you. And it's going to happen. And you go, oh, I got to write it down, write it down. And the next time you go to have a time with the Lord, it might be tomorrow morning or it might be evening watch tonight. And you open to the Lord and you begin to enjoy the Lord a little bit. And you're like, oh, this is so good. Lord, you're so sweet. And he starts kissing you. Oh, and then what happens? You're in the middle of this sweet fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord says, George. You're like, George. Oh, yeah, George. You're like, no, Lord, amen, I'm with you. And he says, George. And you're like, Lord, George? Right now, George? Okay, Lord. Lord Jesus, George. Lord, I just pray for George. Lord, you know where he is. You know what's going on with him. You were enjoying the Lord as the head. And the head all of a sudden has a lot of feeling about George. And then what do? No, Lord, it's me and you now. It's my time alone. It's me and Jesus, me and the head. Right? So the next time it happens, you're going to get shocked because you're enjoying the Lord. And right away, somebody comes up in your heart. Who's that? That's the head.
Amen.
With a lot of feeling.
Amen.
For the body of Christ.
Amen.
So, how to care for the consciousness or the conscious element in the body? Enjoy the head.
Amen.
Enjoy the Lord more. We're short on enjoying. If we would enjoy the head, we'd have a lot of feeling about everyone around us. Right? So what? Being conscious of the body. What's the opposite of that? The opposite of not being, it's the opposite is individualism. You're just an individual. The Lord touches you about George. You're like, George is not on my list. You're just an individual. Right? You just what? You remain in yourself, and yourself is never dealt with. It's against the body. But what do we need to do? Enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
To be conscious in the body. Okay, brothers, let's read number two. Go.
Learning to be a member.
And then, sisters, the verse is there in 1 Corinthians again, 12, 25, 26. That. So being in the body, you have to learn to be a member. You have to learn to be a member. You're like, well, I'm just a member. Well, you have to learn to be a member. Okay, so some characteristics of members. You ready? Here's characteristic. Number one, what is a member? Number one, a member is a living member.
Amen.
I hope all my members are living.
Yeah.
Right? Living.
Amen.
As a member, you need to practice to be living. You want to be a dead member?
No.
Lukewarm?
No.
Lethargic? Living!
Amen.
As a member, you need to be practicing to be a living member.
Amen.
Right? The head sends a signal. There's a nerve. They do something, and you're in the middle of it, and you're like, not going to receive the signal today. You're not living. You're not coordinated with others. Okay, number two, as a member, you should be functioning.
Amen.
What do members do? They function. They have life and they function.
Amen.
You're like, I don't need to learn that, do I? Well, yeah. You have to practice.
Amen.
Practice to function.
Right.
Number three, you're not the only member. So you better be coordinated.
Amen.
Members are coordinated. That means they're vitally related to the other members. We have to learn this. You're like, well, you know, my elbow's attached to my arm. Do they have to? Yes, they need to coordinate. That requires practice. Right? Okay, number four, organically joined. Organically joined. Joined to all the other members. So this is what it means we need to learn to be a member. Learn to be a member. We need to be living. We need to be functioning. We need to be coordinated. And we need to be organically joined.
Amen.
It's all in life, but life requires maintenance and practice and exercise, right? Learn to be a member.
Amen.
And the main thing without learning to be a member is we're all the time thinking, I wish I was another member. Learn to appreciate what the Lord has done in you as a member. And also appreciate others as members. Actually, the more you appreciate the others members, the more you realize, I'm just a member. I'm just a member. I'm happy to be a member. We're all the time worried, what kind of member am I? Am I the eye? Am I the ear? No. Just enjoy and appreciate the members that the Lord has placed around you. That's part of learning to be a member. Learning to coordinate with others. Learning to receive. Okay, sisters, number three, ready, go. Having. Brothers, the verse.
That there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same care for one another.
So you can jot down this verse, Jude 19. It says, we can say, well, no division in the body. Okay, this is, do you realize on the ground of oneness there could be a spirit of division? We could be even factors of division. Like, I'm on the ground of oneness. There's no division here. Well, you got to be careful. Okay, Jude 19 says, it reads this way. These are those who make divisions. What kind of men are they? They make divisions. You know what they're? Soulish. These are those men who make divisions, comma, soulish, comma, having no spirit. Be careful. You live in your soul. You could be one of these. We need to be people on the ground in spirit, right? That hymn is, in spirit on the ground. Okay, that's real. That's real. That isn't just a little, it's real. If you don't exercise your spirit, you live in your soul. Guess what? The fallen enemy who has injected his life and fallen nature into your flesh and into your soul, it's divisive. So you live in the soul. Guess what? You could be a factor of division. We need to be exercised all the time. Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to be a man of the Spirit.
Amen.
On the ground, not in the soul.
Amen.
I'm not sure if any of you next year are going to go, I'm going to be a divisive man. Who's coming with? I doubt. But you know what? You could live in a divisive way. How you care for the members, how you don't care for the members, how you think of what's going on in your locality. Got to be careful. Then a wind of teaching comes and you go, oh, that's not bad. And next thing you know, you're not on the ground of oneness. You're like, how did I get out? You got out because you lived in your soul. And your soul is a dangerous place. The soul is the source of, well, like we saw in the messages, lust, ambition, right? All those things that cause division. This is very serious. Okay, brothers four, ready, go. Being delivered from independence. The verses are there, very similar that we've read. It says what? But our comely members have no need, but God has blended the body together, giving more abundant to the member that lacked than 26 we read up on the top. Okay, being delivered from independence. Okay, number one, the first thing you have to realize is as a member, the danger would be that you don't live as a member. You live independently. You have to remember independence. What's the source of independence? It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Man took in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right away they became independent. The source of independence is knowledge. You get into the realm of knowledge, good and evil, and you become independent. Most of the time that we're independent is because we think we're better than others. I don't need these brothers here, you know, and I'm okay without them. Eventually, nobody else is around. You're just independent, right? So we need to be delivered from independence. Don't live by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eat the tree of life. Become dependent, right? And I would say, which we'll touch in the next point, the way to be saved from independence is to practice fellowship. You want to get saved from your independence? bother the brothers all the time about everything.
Amen.
Everything. Brother Lee has a quote. He says, fellowship solves all problems. And we think, oh, that means just spiritual problems. No, it says all problems.
Yeah.
If you would fellowship, the things that you're struggling with in class and school and with your family and all these human kind of things, if you would open for fellowship, you really might get some help in the human realm. Brothers, how many times we fellowship and we gotten so much help?
Yeah.
And it wasn't a spiritual question.
Right.
It was human.
Amen.
But we don't believe fellowship solves all the problems. It will save you from independence.
Amen.
It keeps you from your individualistic and divisive mind.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for fellowship.
Amen.
That's how God blends the body together.
Yeah.
You wonder, oh, how does God do this thing? It's through the fellowship. He blends the body together. Okay, all together on five. Ready, go.
Staying in fellowship.
What is fellowship? I mean, it's participation. It's communication. Listen, it's the flow of the eternal life within the believers. Stay in that. Stay in the flow of the eternal life within the believers, right? And I would say practically, stay in the fellowship. Here's how to stay in the fellowship. When you go for fellowship and you seek fellowship from somebody older or a companion, you're opening to the Lord, you have to remember, fellowship, here it is, write it down. Fellowship is carried out on by the Spirit in our regenerated spirit. If you are not using your spirit, you're not fellowshipping. You have to use the Spirit in your regenerated spirit to have fellowship. And characteristic, practically, what you need to do, the first item of fellowship is opening. We go for fellowship, but we don't open. It's like going to the doctor and say, I hurt. He goes, where? All over. Okay, where? All over. I can't do anything for you. Let's put you in the x-ray machine. Let's test this. Let's shake your blood. I just hurt. I hurt. You know exactly where you hurt. Yeah, it's just bad. And so then the fellowship of the brothers is, go read the word. Go pray. But if you were more specific, there could be more specific. So learn to open.
Amen.
What's the first item of fellowship? Open. Let's say it.
Open.
And then in your practice of fellowship, here's the other thing. Practically, you should ask the one you're fellowshipping with, what is their feeling? That indicates that fellowship is a traffic. If you never ask, you're like, oh, brothers, I have this thing. I feel to go to the full-time training. I think it's very good. Will you support me? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, brothers, good. When do I go? Hallelujah. Amen, brothers. Stamp my document. Ask the brothers. Get the mutual feeling. Brothers, what do you feel about this? You know what that will do? Bring fellowship. That will bring the flow of the divine life. Stay in it. Practice it.
Amen.
All right, Brother Mike.
Yeah, we have a word for that kind of fellowship. He just talked about fellowship. Somebody comes and quote fellowships, but all they really do is tell you what they're going to do. Never really care what you think about it. Amen. Save us, Lord, from fellowship.
Amen.
We want to be in the fellowship.
Amen.
My name is Mike Pendyson. I'm from San Antonio. For those of you that don't know me. And praise the Lord. I'm going to do the next 4 points. Let's read the first one, point six.
Loving brothers
and sisters. So, you know, we've been talking about the ground of oneness and the place where God has chosen. And God is one.
Amen.
And he loves oneness.
Amen.
And you know what oneness requires? It requires love. Don't you like that? Don't you love love? Oh, Lord. How about we all say, oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. Okay, now turn to your neighbor, as long as the same gender, and tell that brother, if you're a brother, or sister, if you're a sister, tell them you love them. I love you. Let's go ahead and read this. Let's read this verse, 1 John 3:14. You ready? Sisters, how about sisters? 1 John 3:14. We know.
We
saints, you know, the love of God is so precious. And on the ground of oneness, especially when we're eating, we're bringing and eating and rejoicing, we just get filled with love. It's just a byproduct, a wonderful fringe benefit that we love one another.
Amen.
So it associates love with life and not loving with death. So it's kind of like sometimes you don't know whether you're alive or dead or if something's helping you be more living or deadening you. But you know what the litmus test is or the dipstick? How's my love for the brothers? Oh, the brothers are coming over. How do I feel about that? You know, am I wanting to go hide or am I just, you know, welcoming them in?
Amen.
Well, that shows me where I am. Have I been in life today or have I kind of been in something else? So anyway, this really helps us.
Yes.
Even sometimes I'm really in the work of the Lord. I mean, that's according to my feeling, working, working, working. Yes. But eventually, I just am criticizing the brothers.
Wow.
I'm not loving them.
Wow.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
That means that's a check. Mike, stop. Stop all that working and come back to me.
Amen.
How about you spend a little time with me?
Amen.
The Lord is the source of love. We spend time with him, and spontaneously we love the brothers.
Amen.
You know, saints, I have another thing I really love, and it's food. And my wife, she can't get over the way I love food. And sometimes it's a real, like, we have the college age come over a lot, and, you know, I have certain food I like to reserve for myself. I don't want the college age getting into my food. Yeah, they can have this pasta or whatever, salad, but not this food. So anyway, one week I just tell y'all this little story. I really went all out on the smoking and the barbecuing and everything, and I made ribs and you know, sirloin. And listen to this. I bought a piece of meat that's called a tenderloin. It costs $80. $80. I've never bought a piece of meat like that, probably never will. But I thought, I got to at least try this tenderloin. $80. Okay, well, here come the college age over to my house. I put all that meat way to the back of the refrigerator. I was not planning to share any of it. Okay, well, they had their own, you know, their pasta or whatever. And then we had a meeting, and we enjoyed the Lord.
Amen.
And you know what happened? I got filled with the love of God. And afterward, I was like, hey, brother, I smoked some meat. Would you like to try some? And I was just going to give him a little bit at first. Pretty soon, all the brothers are in the kitchen, and I'm cutting up all the meat, and they just devoured it all. And I was so happy.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the love of God.
Amen.
Tide of love flow in.
Amen.
So powerful. Saints, for the oneness, we need to love one another.
Amen.
All right, then let's go on to the next one. Let's read point 7. You ready? Dealing with offenses and repenting and confessing sins so there are no
walls
with anyone. So again, you know, oneness requires love. Oneness requires forgiveness and confession on our part. You know, sometimes it doesn't seem fair. Well, let's go ahead and read the verses here first before I say something. Okay, 1 John 1:7, we'll do the brothers, and 1:9, sisters. Ready to go, brothers? But
if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin.
Sisters. Amen. So oneness requires forgiveness and confession. The church life requires this. And sometimes it doesn't seem fair because the Lord, if you have an offense with someone, what do you have to do? I'm offended with David here. David has offended me. He probably doesn't even know it, but he offended me. So what do I need to do? I have to forgive him. But then Emmanuel here, he's offended me. Wait, no, the other way around. No, now I've offended him. I did something to Emmanuel. And so what do I have to do? I have to go apologize. You know, ask for his forgiveness. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. If I'm offended, I have to forgive. But if I offend, I've got to go confess. Well, when did somebody, you know, come to me? But, you know, anyway, saints, This is the body life. We need to forgive and confess. So how about you look to your neighbor again and say, I forgive you. Okay. Now let's do it again. Except this time, look at him. Okay, this time, try again, but this time say, please forgive me. Yeah. So, saints, we need a lot of that.
Amen.
Actually, when you get married and you want to have oneness in your marriage, I mean, you need to really have a lot of forgiveness and confession. And you'll have a wonderful marriage life in oneness.
Amen.
And so we can have the body life in oneness by confessing and forgiving.
Amen.
You know, for the oil to continue flowing and the dew to continue, you know, coming down and enjoying the grace of life, we really cannot have these walls, these offenses.
Yeah.
And they are real.
Yeah.
And they really, even though we're still, you know, practically on the ground physically or, you know, coming to the meetings, inwardly, there's a division or a wall in us,
yeah,
and we stop receiving, or it just kind of trickles out. Yeah. So anyway, one time I had an experience where for a whole year, my spiritual health just kind of went like this, if you had it on a chart. And I was like, oh, what is going on? You know, especially toward the end of the year, I'm like dead as a mackerel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, but I'm still kind of going through the motions, and I'm going to the meetings, but I am not alive. I mean, this. So anyway, I went to a doctor. I went to an older brother and asked him to help me. And at that point, I was just kind of like, I'm sick. I don't know what's wrong. But I mean, he asked me a couple questions. And before long, I mean, it was probably within just a minute or two, I realized it was this offense. Two brothers in coordination with me, I felt they were laughing at me about something I'd said in coordination. Okay, a year before, that was still in my heart. And that was what was causing, and you know, when I finally come to realize, they probably were laughing about something totally different.
Yeah.
But I got offended. And even for that whole year, I didn't really even realize that much that I was offended. But it was just causing this ebb of life, you see. So now I have to forgive them, but I'm still offended. How do you do that? Pray, Lord, help me. Help me forgive them.
Yeah.
Anyway, finally, the end result was, or what I finally did to help myself, because I would say, oh, you know, Lord, I forgive them, and then then I'm still offended, and I just kept going back and forth. Anyway, I finally got in front of the mirror in my bathroom, and I said, I forgive brother X and brother Y, and I said it right to myself.
Wow.
So I saw myself forgive them. I said the words.
Yeah.
I said the words. So every time anything would come up about that, nope. It's just like baptism.
Right.
You know, I got baptized on March 5th, you know, whatever year. There was a day I got baptized. There's a day I forgave those brothers.
Amen.
And whenever, anyway, saints, I got so free. I got back into the dew.
Amen.
The oil started flowing again.
Yeah.
So these things are real, you know, and sometimes we need help to get through.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes right into the next point. Let's read point 8 there. Being shepherded
by spiritual parents, your parents, older brothers, or sisters in the Lord, etc.
All right, let's read that verse, 1 Corinthians 12, 25. Saints, I didn't know what was going on. I needed help.
Yeah.
And by asking, finally, why did it take me a year? I suffered for a year.
Yeah.
Wasn't that dumb? The help was there all along, and I'm just a stubborn brother. But blessed are you if you ask for help.
Amen.
How about you look to that neighbor again and say, please help me. I mean, you know, it's really not that hard. I mean, if I want to fix a toilet and I can't figure out how to do it, you know what I do? I go get help. I go to YouTube, or I go wherever. I seek out help. Well, why is it when we have spiritual problems, we don't ask anybody? We've got the wealth of the body. All these older brothers and sisters have all these experiences. Surely they've probably gone through this a number of times. But I'm there going to figure it out on my own. No, saints, blessed are you if you ask for help. Okay, then, so good to be shepherded. And then how about the last one here, number 9, ready? Let's read all together. Having proper... Yeah, so oneness really requires companions. Okay, so how about 2 Corinthians 6:14? You ready? How about we do... Well, let's just all read it together. Do not... Amen. Well, yeah, let's just keep reading. Or what part? All right, let's all read Proverbs 13:20. He
who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be troubled.
Amen. So if you want to walk, if you want to be wise, what should you do? Yeah. So if you want to be a God man, what should you do? Walk with the God man. Yeah, I tell you, I've gotten so much help from my companions in the church life.
Amen.
Really, to be on this ground of oneness, we need companions. You know, when I was younger, I felt like a chameleon, one of those lizards, you know, that changes colors. Have you ever seen those? Oh, chameleon. Yeah, chameleon. Chameleon. If it's on something green, it turns green. If it's on something brown, it turns brown. And it was interesting because when I was with this group of friends, it's like I turned into them. And there was one group that was worse than the others. And so when I was with that group, I got worse. And then I'd go be with these other friends, and I got better. And I was like, it's like I don't even have my own self. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I was really being affected by these groups.
Yeah.
If I'm with this group, I'm black. And if I'm with this group, I'm white.
Yeah.
Or if I'm with this group, I'm brown. I'm green, you know, whatever. And saints, this is the way we are. We should not think that we are not affected by the ones around us. Anyway, I don't have any more time, but our practical decisions, you can make practical decisions to put you with the right companions. You know, if you go to a college where there's no church life, what is the percentage chance you're going to have solid companions on the ground of oneness? Not much. But if you go to a church that has a lot going on, and anyway, I'm just saying there's practical decisions we can make to put ourselves with the God men and the ones that are on their way to Zion.
Amen.
The ones that are going to the place.
Amen.
And you know what? If you're with the ones that are going to the place, guess where you'll probably end up? Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm Zeke. I'm from Austin. Start with the saints there in Austin. I'm going to cover the next 4 points. And I was considering as I was looking at this message title, practice the church life.
Yeah.
You know what you need in order to practice the church life? When I was younger, I played baseball. I loved baseball. That was my favorite sport. But you know what the difficult part about baseball is? You have to have others to play with. If I wanted to practice baseball, I couldn't take my bat out in my room and just... Even if I actually had a ball to hit, what am I going to do? Run to the wall? There's nothing to... How can you practice without what? What do I need to practice? Well, not just others. Not just the team. I need the ground.
Oh.
Hey, listen, it's not a small thing. The fact that we have these points on this paper are all because we have the ground of oneness.
Amen.
It's all because we have the ground of the church.
Amen.
If there was no ground, none of these points would matter. Well, okay, maybe they would matter for you and your isolated experience of the Lord.
Wow.
But would it matter in God's economy? Would it matter for the building up of the church life? Not so much. So the fact that we have the ground of oneness, brothers and sisters, is not a small thing. All these points can be unlocked for us.
Amen.
We can practice.
Amen.
We have others.
Yep.
We have the ground.
Amen.
So we can practice the church life.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Okay. So the point I'm going to cover here, starting with point number, 10? Shepherding those younger or presently weaker than you in the Lord.
Amen.
So I have two words to share with you here on this point. Two words. Well, two phrases. One is, just show them you care. You might think, do I have to have some verses? I have to have, what do I, I'm going to teach them how to pray read. What do I need to do? Show them you care.
Amen.
Number one. Number two, the second phrase, be patterns of enjoyment. If you can take care of those two things, brothers and sisters, then you can shepherd the ones that are younger and weaker. Listen, all living things, everybody, they respond to care. If you show some brother that you care for them, how far will that go? You don't realize. They will remember that for years to come. If you come to them with a judging heart, they'll also remember that for years to come. But if you come to them just to say, brother, I love you.
Yeah.
Brother, hey, can I take you out to, maybe let's go have something to eat. You tell that to a younger brother?
Yeah.
Really? Me? You want to take care of me? Sure. They'll remember you for the rest of your life.
Right.
You showed them you cared.
Amen.
And be patterns.
Amen.
What do the younger ones need? What do the weaker ones need? They need to see patterns.
Amen.
That's how you enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
That's how you live the church life in high school.
Amen.
Oh, Mike, I don't know if you remember this. I was in the full-time training at the time, and Brother Mike, he came out with a group of young people to Anaheim, and at that time, there wasn't that many young people who had gone to the training from Austin. Do you remember this? And he came out with a few church kids who were in college at the time, who grew up in the church life in Austin, and I was one of the few church young people from Austin who had gone to the full-time training. And Mike saw me in the crowd, and he said, Zeke, just want to let you know, there's a lot of eyes on you, brother. And I knew exactly who he was talking about.
Yeah.
It was these college brothers he came with.
Yeah.
Well, high schoolers, there's a lot of eyes on you. You may not want to hear that, but there's a lot of eyes on you. All those junior hires, they're looking at you, and they're seeing, how do you go on in the church life as a high schooler? It's not going to be what I say. It's not going to be what they hear at the junior high conference. It's going to be what they see in you this year. That's what they're going to see as how to go on as a high schooler in the church life. Okay. Can't leave this just yet. Can I have all the juniors and seniors please stand up? All the juniors and seniors please stand up. Okay, listen. How the young people's meetings go in your locality depend on you. Right here. I'm not joking. I've been involved with the young people's meetings enough, you can sit down now, to know that if you have the pattern of making to the young people's meeting, the younger ones will come to the young people's meeting. And if you have a pattern of continuing to be in the church life and being in the meetings, especially the young people's meetings, when you're a junior and a senior, they'll realize, when I'm a junior and a senior, I'm going to be in the young people's meeting.
Amen. Amen.
Very practical. Okay, let's read the next point. Go. Oh, wow. Listen, you guys know. What do you see all around you all day long while you're in school, while you're in the world? What do you see? Garbage? Trash? Let's be honest. You just see a facade. You just see a facade. And you know what's behind that? The whole thing is fake. The whole thing is fake. The fake enjoyment. It's empty. It's trash, really what it is. When you have a genuine enjoyment of the Lord, it is so tasty.
Amen.
It is so attractive.
Amen.
Share your enjoyment of Christ and the church life with those around you.
Amen.
You might think, oh, I'm so ashamed. I don't know what to say. I'm so scared to say anything about what I enjoyed. You don't realize if you say something, they realize that's real. What you just shared is that's, I've even had people say, that's deep. That's deep. It wasn't even that deep. But to them, it was so deep. Because all they touch all day long is just fake, empty. And you share something of the enjoyment of Christ, oh, that's deep. That's solid. So don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Okay, listen. That next point, well, I'll share it here. There's some young people who are even here at this conference because their friends in junior high shared something of the Lord with them. Maybe it was just come to our young people's meeting. I don't know. I don't know what was said, but they're in this conference because of that. You never know what you're going to say and how it's going to impact somebody's life. Okay, let's read the next point. Serving the saints. Oh, say it again. Okay, I'm sure you brothers had a wonderful experience in Denton. I'm sure you did. But sisters, were you cherished this weekend? Were you cherished by the serving saints? How did that make you feel?
Special.
Special. You felt so special. Listen, I'll tell you this. As one who's a little older than you, one of the best ways you can repay the saints for all their care for you is to serve their children, is to take care of their children. We had a group of, in our last Bible camp, I don't remember how many young people it was. I believe it was something like 30 of our young people, junior highers and high schoolers, 30-something, served in our Bible camp. And I don't know how many parents and serving ones came to me and said, it was such a blessed, oh, we were so blessed to have the young people serving in Bible camp. Oh, those kids just love the young people. If you served in Bible camp, raise your hand. In any of your localities, raise your hand. Oh, praise the Lord. You know what you did? You served the saints. You made those young ones feel so special. You know what that does? That just spreads the love. You know, you want to be the greatest one among the believers? You want to be the greatest one in the church life? Be the serving one. You serve the children of the saints. Of course, we serve in our capacity. Some of you may serve in different ways. Maybe you love to push a lawnmower. That's wonderful, too. I'm not negating any of those things. But I'm just saying, a really wonderful way to serve the saints who pour out for you is to serve their children, right? Okay, and the last one I'm going to share is submitting to authority. You know, if there is a body and we're on the proper ground, it stands to reason that there must be order. Right, there is a head for sure. But there's order. There's order. Actually, if you find that you are willing to submit to authority and be in the order of the body, you will be free to enjoy. As soon as you come out from underneath that and you're striving and struggling to be this or be that, or maybe you have an offense with an older brother, you'll find out no enjoyment. No enjoyment in any of these other points. So actually, young people, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be under authority. Amen. It's for our protection in the church life so that we can practice the church life. Okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. My name's Tom Wells, and I'm from Denton, Texas. So good to be with you this morning.
Amen.
Amen. And hello, brothers. I've missed you, but I'm glad you all came this morning, and the sisters are very sweet, so it's awesome to be with the sisters as well. So anyway, I'm going to share the last 4 points, and why don't we just read Roman numeral, 14, all together. Praying unceasingly, petitioning specifically, and singing unashamedly. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I like this word of the title of this little portion, and that is practicing the church life. And yes, it's awesome. We have a ground, right? I like it, Zeke. We have a place to play.
Amen.
We have a place to practice.
Amen.
There's a field in which we can come together and practice.
Amen.
And what do we do on this field?
Amen.
You know what?
Amen.
We pray.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Prayer is an awesome release. You know, I hope you don't just look at it as a burden, as an obligation, as a requirement, something I've got to do. You know, prayer is a talking. Prayer is an unloading of your heart to God. You know, this kind of prayer can be very, it can be very, it's general, and it can also be very personal, right? There's something in your heart, right? Sometimes I feel for unbelievers. They have no way to express their feeling within, other than maybe just anger. And they just get, you know, toss something, right? Throw something, break something, right? But wow, on this playing field of the ground of the church, whether you're in the hall or in your home or walking to school, right? I remember I was a sophomore in high school, and a brother who was 2 years my senior, I was very new in the church life, and he would come down, ride his bike almost a mile and a half out of his way to meet me on the corner of Lassen and Reseda Boulevard. And there we would meet with our bikes, and then we would walk about a mile together toward Granada Hills High School. And we just pray. We just turn our heart to the Lord. That was such a help to me. That was a release to me.
Amen.
I remember when I bought my first car. Anyway, you might laugh. You might think this is silly. But it was very real for me. And that was... We were in those days, we served a lot Saturday morning at the meeting hall. And I loved that service. And I actually would get with the brothers early in their little truck with Ed Carnes, and we'd meet and we'd pray. He was a brother I worked with after high school, when I got out of high school, the end of the day. And but I had to buy a car. I needed to buy a car. And I was just in the bathroom. How about that? And I opened my heart to God. And I said, Lord, my dad was getting married, moving away. I used to use his car. He was going to move 40 miles away. I was still a senior in high school. I needed a car. I needed a truck. And so I just made a little prayer. Lord, make it quick. I don't want to lose my Saturday morning service with the brothers and with the saints. May I find a car? Because I figured the only time I got it is to shop on Saturday, and I didn't want to lose that time. And you know what? I don't think it was a week later, Joshua, I was riding my bicycle to Granada Hills High School, and parked right outside the school was a 1977. They don't even make them anymore. Datsun pickup, and it had a for sale sign. It's the newest car I ever bought. It was only 2 years old, only had 25,000 miles on it. I drove by it, and my thought was, I can't afford that. I could tell it was new, relatively. Anyway, I just called. The guy says, I'm moving to New York in a week. I owe $2,400, $2,600 on it. You give me $2,600, it's your truck. You know how much money I had from working for that brother, saved up in the bank? $2,600. Right? So don't take prayer as a formal thing. You're not too young to pray. You're not too young to come to a prayer meeting and pray, right? Be a pattern. Come to the prayer meeting. Enter into not just personal prayers, but enter into global prayers. Right? And you'll find out there's all kinds of needs within the church. First time I went to Tennessee. Oh, it was awesome. But where did I find out about that? It was a prayer meeting. Wow. The gospel team was going to Nashville.
Amen.
The brothers needed some brothers to go.
Amen.
I got to go, Tom.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Howard Agassi, I still remember that time.
Amen.
That was visionary. But it all came through prayer.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, sorry. Petitioning something specific. Don't be afraid to pray something specific. When I was in grad school, my roommate and I, we prayed. Our third roommate was not baptized. And we said, Lord, we give you a week. You need to baptize John Hierman within the week.
Amen.
Wow. You know what happened?
Hallelujah.
He got baptized Saturday night on the seventh day, just before midnight. My roommate reminded me. I'd forgotten we prayed that way. But we prayed a specific prayer for John Hierman. And he's serving, he's there in Russia with Bible Depot. We met him in a fraternity in 1987, right? His daughter is there in Germany. She knows English. She knows Russian. She's learning German. Very, very much involved in the church life, right? Specific prayers, right? Sing unashamedly. How many of you own, not your parents own, how many of you own a hymn book? Raise your hand, a song book. Okay, awesome. All those who have not raised your hand, I would encourage you, get one.
Amen.
Get one. You can sing by yourself. Right? We sing here. Isn't it awesome?
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
I love singing with you all. But you know where you can really sing unashamedly?
Yeah.
Ah, maybe sing by yourself. Right? Grab your hymn book and sing to the Lord. You haven't really sung till you've sung to the Lord.
Amen.
Out of your innermost being,
amen,
they're just a flow of love and life and fellowship,
amen,
in your singing.
Amen.
You'll sing unashamedly,
amen,
right? I don't have time. Just like, what was this, Paul and Silas. Sing hymns of praise, right? Okay, I got to keep going. You know what else we're doing on this ground? We practice prophesying. Right? That isn't just reserved for the older brothers and sisters. Wow. You know, yeah, actually, why don't we read the verse? 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Wow. How many can prophesy? Do you believe it? All. I wish you brothers were here. Y'all missed something yesterday. It was really sweet. A young sister testified that she was sitting in some kind of class. I don't know, it was a math class or something. Anyway, she was sitting in class, and all these thoughts, all these darts were flying around her head and bugging her and annoying her. And wow, sister, you are bold. That was bold, right? Would you do that, Matt? Yeah. I don't know about that. But the sister said out loud in class, Satan, shut up. She said it loud.
Amen.
Right? The teacher asked her after class, what'd you say? All right? Some of her friends came to her and tell me more about that. You know, that's not our typical thought of prophesying. But you know what? She spoke forth God.
Amen.
She spoke forth and for God.
Amen.
And it touched those around her. Right? May we all learn to prophesy.
Amen.
Learn to prophesy here. You speak for the Lord. Learn to prophesy wherever you are.
Right.
In the hall, in the home, on the baseball field. You know, it's awesome.
Amen.
It's an awesome privilege that as a believer, we can speak for the Lord.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Praise the Lord for practicing.
Amen.
Okay, what else do we do on this ground? This is an interesting one. This is striking and very critical. 16. Why don't we read just the point all together?
Having aspiration, not ambition.
Okay. What's aspiration? What does that mean? Okay. Vanusa, desire without a motive, right? Aspiration is you have a desire within, but it's not self-motivated, right? Your aspiration is unto Him. Your aspiration is unto the church, right? You know, the ground here upon which the church is built is a very unique ground. There's no room for self. There's no room for self-gain, right? That is intolerant and ugly in the house of God, right? Because the house is only for the glory of God. Everything needs to be unto Him, right? But it's awesome to have aspiration, right? It's you're not passive. You're aggressive. You want to learn. I want to learn how to prophesy. Amen. I want to learn to share the gospel. I want to learn to live the church life. Amen. I want to learn to pray. Amen. I want to learn to be coordinated, Amen. Right? I want to learn these things. There's an aspiration, I hope, in all of you. There's a deep aspiration. Lord, I want to live to You, Amen. Right? Not just in my teenage years, and, you know, this goes to the next point. Why don't we read this all together? Having body-centered goals in the of life. Yeah. Body-centered goals in each stage of life. You know, this is a very interesting point. You know, I mentioned I did come into church life in my teenage years. And, you know, I heard about the three parts of man from the brothers, and I heard about transformation, you know, regeneration, transformation, sanctification, glorification. Brian, I thought, man, you know, I'm 13, 14, 15. You know, I'm going to have this thing wrapped up in a couple of years. Well, life has many stages, right? Life has many twists and turns. And you know what? I need to have a body-centered, Christ-centered life in every stage of my life, right? So when I turned 20, that scared me. You know why? What's your name, brother? Sebastian. You know why? I mean, 20's a cool year, right? How old are you? 15. Okay, so you got a few more years. But when I turned 20, I got concerned because I realized, wow, I'm going to probably make all my lifelong decisions, generally speaking, in my 20s. I'm going to decide what I'm going to major in. I'm going to decide most likely where I'm going to go to college. I'm going to decide who I marry. And I'm probably going to decide, generally speaking, where I'm going to live, unless the Lord blows the wind again. And, you know, in church life, praise the Lord, we have such a reality on the ground of migration. But generally, it's proven. Rita and I moved to Denton when we were 29. And I've told a few brothers, I'm open, brothers. My sails are up. But so far, the brothers haven't blown any wind into my... So I am where I am. But anyway, all those decisions were made in my 20s. So you know what I did? I happened to be in Irving, Texas, visiting. And there's a street. That street is still there. The houses are gone, but the street is still there. And I could take you to that street where I walked up and down that street and just consecrated my decade of my 20s to the Lord. Lord, I want to give You every decision. I'm trusting in You, Lord. I'm trusting in You regarding my major. I'm trusting in You on where I go to college. Lord, I'm trusting in You on who is that sister. I don't know who she is. I don't know where she is. But Lord, I give You this decision. And Lord, my career and my family. Anyway, I only made one request, and I told the Lord, Lord, I want no regrets. I want no regrets. I give all my decisions to You of my 20s. Well, Lord Jesus, by the Lord's mercy. It almost is hard to say, but that was more than 26 years ago. 36 years ago. Yeah, I'm 56, so 36. I told you that's hard to say. I just, oh, man. I told in the college, I live in denial of my age. I feel 35. I don't feel 56. But I have no regrets. I was even talking to my wife last night, late last night. Usually when Rita calls, it's a long phone call. When I was in Russia, she called. I said, Rita, we've got to go. I said, this is costing $1 a minute. You know what she told me? I don't care. She just wanted to talk. So we talked for about 1 hour and 20 minutes last night. First with this, my daughter for 1 hour and her. We're very sweet. And then I thought we were done. I was trying to get ready for this. I told him I really need to take care of the conference. And then 10 minutes later, she calls me back. It's midnight. She said, well, one more thing. No regrets. I went to bed. I think, Lord, thank you for my wife. Thank you for all she bears, all her support toward me. Thank you for these 28 years of our marriage, right? So it's awesome to have body-centered goals in every stage. So when I looked to go to college, I only looked where there were churches, where I could be on that ground. I didn't want to leave the ground, right? So I chose universities where there were churches, right? Where I could get fellowship. Grad school, the same thing, right? Right. There's one school I applied to, and I never even went there. I don't think there's much of many saints there. But anyway, it's awesome to live your life unto Christ. So I'd say this. This was really fresh to me a couple weeks ago. Sorry, Tom, you were there. I don't mean to repeat, but this was very real and very simple. But I was messing with a compass. And I don't know if you know how a compass works. But it has a needle. And, you know, you can rotate that compass in many directions, in all directions. And what is that needle doing? It's pointing north. It's pointing north. I hope you all know your north. I hope as young people you all know your direction in life. We have a God who dwells in the north. He's the God of the North. And I hope no matter what decision, Emmanuel, you make in your life, may it always be centered on God. Whether they're hard decisions, easy decisions, small decisions, big decisions, may it be centered on God. Wow. You know your North. You know your North, right? Amen, brothers. Maybe I better stop, and I think the brothers will direct us.